in our life that we just can't forget. It will stay with us until the day we die. And that's the one I want you to share with us tonight. Here's the phone number. 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. That is for those of you to share with us that one event, that one story in your life that you will take to the grave with you. You might as well share it with us. Why don't you do that? And those of you, again, joining us on trying to get Pat Boone elected into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next year, keep pushing. You're getting very close to that total of 1,000 that they would like to be able then to take to the membership of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame group that does the selection process in June of next year, which is not too far away. Go to the website if you have a computer. Just register your vote for Pat Boone. That's all you have to do. It's backpat, B-A-C-K-P-A-T, backpat.org, not com, .org. We'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue now on Coast to Coast AM. Well, so many buttons to choose from. Which one will I pick? Let me just close my eyes and go there. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is something that I have to tell everybody because it really affected me. I had a lot of problems with sleep deprivation, with insomnia, and I shouldn't have taken a certain particular medicine at a certain time. But I was coming back home one night, and I thought I almost made it back home, but I made a turn, but the turn wasn't into my driveway. It was into somebody's yard, and my entire car went in through a whole plate glass window.
Oh, my.
Right through some French doors, and it went into the living room of somebody's house. My entire car was in their house. And I was burning my tires into their, like, wood floor. Now, luckily, nobody was in the way, and nobody got hurt other than me. You know, later on, I got a pretty nasty concussion. And I actually drove my car through these French windows into somebody's house, and my car was in their living room. And this is no lie. I swear to God, this is what happened. The guy that was in the house went over and turned the keys off because I thought I was still heading toward the area that I thought I was heading toward, which was home, but it wasn't home.
You would have gone right through the house, all the way through.
Exactly. If my car would have had the power to do it, I'd have gone right through his house, but I didn't. And he turned the keys off, and and all four tires were blown out, and I was on his wood floor, burning his wood, and the thing that I know this does, I shouldn't say it sounds funny, but the police came, and because I had a concussion from my head hitting the windshield, later on, they asked me, they said, "Do you realize that you were in an accident?" And they told me that I looked around and I go, "What accident?"
You know, it's like, I can't believe it.
I was in somebody's living room.
Now, how upset was this guy? There you are. You've crashed through his house. I mean, can somebody actually be civil and nice when that happens? He had to have been ballistic.
Well, you know what? I tried to make a joke about it. You know, it was like at 7:27 on a November evening, and I just said, I'm sorry. I tried to buy a vowel from the quiz show, you know, or some stupid thing like that. I mean, my head was like totally messed up. But the guy knew that there was something really wrong with me. You know, because I took my medication at the wrong time, and I, But I thought I was turning into my own driveway, but I turned into his house. And it was like the weirdest thing, because if I'd have kept going, I'd have been in Lake Erie.
I've got to ask you, did you go back and see the house the next day or so when you were able to?
My insurance company did. You know, I mean, and you know, it was like $50,000 worth of damage. You know, and when I did, yes, I did, but I almost didn't want to confront the individual because I felt so embarrassed. But you know, to drive into, you know what it was, is that the sad part was that the gentleman that helped me, he wound up in the psychotherapy because he kept having dreams about having cars crashing through his house.
My God. Now, thank God nobody really got hurt.
No, nobody did. I did a number on, you know, his house got, the front of his house got rebuilt, and, you know, the couch got redone. Everything got done that was supposed to get done like it was supposed to. But you know what, though? I still tell that story at, a rehab organizations or places that, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that I had an incredible problem, but, you know, I got charged with driving under the influence because I shouldn't have been having the drugs in me.
Well, that's right. It doesn't have to be just alcohol.
No, exactly. That's what I want people to understand. I got charged with a DUI, but it was because of, you know, the influence for something that I should have been using to sleep, not to drive. And so when I tell my story to these people, I am telling you right now, and I'll tell people to this national audience, people go home and they tell their spouses and they'll go, you know, I just went to an AA meeting, and they go, you should have heard what I just heard. You know, guy drove his car into somebody's house. And he burnt, and all four tires were burnt out, and I was spinning my wheels on wooden floor into the guy's house.
This is like one's worst nightmare. Can you imagine that? Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. I mean, how in the heck would you like that to happen to you? Well, let's go to our I've never forgotten this event line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Oh, hi, George. It's Joe. I'm calling from New York.
Hi, Joe. Now, tell me about this event.
This was an amazing event. It's about 4 or 5 years ago. I was in a deep sleep, sleeping next to my wife, and was woken up suddenly to see three holographic images before me in my room. One was of a sun face with sun rays going in a clockwise direction like a circular saw.
Okay.
In the middle of the room was a unicorn, and to the right of the room was a what looked like an angelic woman who was animated and moving. And obviously they got my attention. And after a few, I would say 30 or 40 seconds, they came towards me and then faded away. And it wasn't a dream. I actually got up then, got out of bed, went into the living room, and was my mind was totally blown away. And over the following few days, I didn't really know what to think about it, and I ended up calling a woman who I knew was a very gifted medium just to ask her if anything like that had ever happened to anyone else she knew. And as I was describing the sun face, she interrupted me and said, oh, yes, and it has rays that are going in a direction just like a circular saw. So she was able to see the things that I had seen.
Did she analyze them in terms of what they meant?
Well, she said that the sun meant, you know, positive things. The angelic being was, she said, a spirit guide. The unicorn, she didn't give me really a good explanation as to the symbol of that. And in the ensuing months and really up until now, I've had experiences of being woken up at certain times at night, like 4:44 or 3:33. I know you've had people on that talked about these triple-digit numbers, etc.
Yes, 111, 11, 11,
exactly.
Things like that.
And that was also in concert with me reading a book called The Messengers.
Now, do you have any idea, though, where these images are coming from?
My guess is it's just another dimension. I mean, it was a holographic image.
Trying to send you some kind of sign or signal.
Exactly.
And it still happens?
I see orbs from time to time. I haven't seen anything as dramatic as those three symbols. It was really quite amazing, and I will never forget it.
All right, Joe, thanks for sharing that with us. But you've got to be able to try to get that fully interpreted, because there's definitely a message there. First-time caller line, your turn. Where are you calling from?
That's first-time caller line?
Yes, sir. That's you.
All right, this is Taylor. I'm calling from Colorado, Eagle, Colorado, specifically.
Good to talk with you. What's on your mind?
Most definitely. Anyway, I'm calling pertaining to indigo children.
Okay.
And specifically, it may relate to your first or the last half an hour guest. And I remember when Art Bell had David Wilcock and Richard C. Hoagland on,
mm-hmm.
talking about hyperdimensions. And they were talking about how specifically maybe after 2012, there would be a shift where people could, in a sense, have Matrix powers like Neo had or whatever.
Sure.
Anyway, I possibly think that it could be hyperdimensional, where souls who are powering the bodies, like Dr. Leonard Horowitz was talking about, where DNA could be a crystalline resonance structure.
Yes.
How that may alter the physical reality, because it's hyperdimensional and, in a sense, precedes time or is out of time. And
I've got to get you and Richard Hoagland together.
That would be quite interesting. And most definitely interested in space and whatnot. Anyway, so I'm just calling interested in, have you noticed through any of your contacts or whatever you do in your off time, if indigos have been popping up lately to issue in a sense, a new paradigm?
You may be right about that.
Okay.
It is occurring. I don't know what the correlation is with what you're saying in with the indigos. But they do seem to be more and more prevalent than in the past. So something's happening.
Okay, right. I guess one final comment. And then I'd like to thank you, George and Art. That would be, actually, I even forgot, but thank you and for doing the show.
You are welcome.
Yeah, I want to say hi to Art Bell. Hey, what's up in Perub?
You got it. Okay, thanks a lot. Heard there's a little earthquake somewhere on the fringes of Reno, Nevada. And I wonder how far it was felt. That happened not too long ago tonight. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Carrie in North Carolina.
Hi, Carrie.
How are you doing?
Good. And how's North Carolina?
Oh, we're still hanging in here. And I still have the 10 dogs, the 7 cats, and the whole kit and caboodle.
So you didn't have to evacuate. You didn't have any problems like that.
Oh, right? No, honey. We're in western North Carolina. We're up in the mountains. We had a little bit of rain today, but that was about it.
Well, okay. You're one of the lucky ones, Carrie.
Yeah, we definitely are, because Ophelia seemed like she wanted to visit the beaches of North Carolina for quite a while.
She didn't want to leave.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that. I have a story that I will never forget, and I don't tell many people this story because they look at me as if I'm crazy.
Well, you're going to tonight.
Yes, I am. And I mean, I've heard people tell similar stories, and I've heard all the, oh, it's just a sleep paralysis thing, blah, blah, blah. Well, this happened to me when I was about, 6 or 7 years old. And my parents, I was adopted, and my mother was 55 and my dad was 52. And as you know, most older people, by the time they get to that age, or a lot of them, will take separate bedrooms. Well, we lived in a 2-bedroom house, and I slept with Mom. And we had, in the bedroom, we had a big picture window that was 12 feet long and 5 feet high. And on the outside, they had put the bricks long ways and then put stuff over it so it was smooth. So there was a ledge outside, and there was a ledge inside, a wooden one that was like, about a foot. And as a little kid, you know, Mom had always said, even as a baby, that she could never get me to go to sleep before midnight. I'm just nocturnal. And seriously. But anyway, so one night I'm laying there in bed, and of course she's snoring away, as usual, and I'm still awake, and I'm doing the things 7-year-olds do, you know, playing with my fingers.
Sure.
And, da, 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 da. And all of a sudden, something catches my eye, and I can also add that we kind of lived a little bit up on a hill, and there was like street lights, so that window was always illuminated, and I think it was kind of a full moon night. Something catches my eye, and I look, and it looks like there's a man standing in the window.
Ew.
Okay? But, now, like I said, this window's 5 feet high, which I never really correlated until I was older, and I was standing in it to paint it because I'm 5'6".
Hold your story right there. Hold your story right there, Carrie. We'll come back and finish it up right in the middle of the breaks with a man staring in the window. We'll be right back. Hey, you can still get that free CD, Perfect Possession, Art Bell's interview with the late Father Malachi Martin, the scary one. When you subscribe or renew your After Dark newsletter, you can do that by going to coasttocoastam.com, our website, or call this toll-free number, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Tommy tells me that we're sitting at 922 votes, registered votes for Pat Boone to get him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We need to go over 1,000. I think we're going to do that today, but I'm going to challenge Streamlink members. Now let's pull out the Coast to Coast AM arsenal. You, Streamlink members, do it if you would. Just get up to backpat.org, backpat.org, register that vote, and we'll push him over the top. If every Streamlink member does that, he'll go way over. Now let's go back to Carrie, finish up with her unforgettable story. Okay, Carrie, so there's a guy looking through the window, you think. Go ahead.
Well, like I said, you know, as a child, I didn't really have a sense of height, how tall the window was, this, that, and the other, and it's like a plate glass window. And the strange thing was, he wasn't as tall as the window, which would have made him about 3.5 or 4 feet tall. There was a space between the top of the window and his head.
Uh-huh.
It was like a filled-in outline of a person, but I could see no hair, no nothing. But then, as I looked at it, I became frozen. I couldn't speak. I couldn't scream. I was trying to move my arm, to nudge my mother, anything. Went on for what seemed like forever. Probably, maybe in reality, it was only 45 seconds, but to me, it seemed like an eternity. Well, finally, he disappeared, it broke, and I just about beat my mom to death, waking her up. She's like, oh, no, no, it's a bad dream. And I'm like, no, no, I wasn't asleep. Well, of course, this woke my daddy up, and he went out with the gun and the flashlight. Couldn't find anything, and there was a big hedge in front of the window. But, you know, never could figure out what it was. But after that, I started having these nosebleeds on a regular basis. But it gets better. That wasn't the only time. It's happened twice since. Once when I was in my early 20s, and once about 6 or 7 years ago, here in the house I'm in, and I'm looking around me now expecting them to appear.
Oh, my.
Yeah, because the last time, now my husband at the time was such a light sleeper, I always said that a fly could land on the wall in the next room and it would wake him up. We had just gone to bed, and normally, you know, it takes him forever to go to sleep. Well, he just dozed right off. And it was dark, and I've always had an inherent fear of the dark. I don't know why, but I always have.
Well, a lot of people do, Carrie. You're not alone there.
Yeah, so I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I get this real creepy feeling like something's looking at me, and I'm looking around the room in the dark, and I look over, and at the end of the bed to the left of the room was this dresser, and I see these two red eyes. Here we go again. I'm frozen. And this time I'm like, oh, no, I'm fighting back. And with all my willpower, I started elbowing my husband in the spine as hard as I could, you know, just as hard as it would let me. And I'm thinking the whole time, I am not going to let you win. I am fighting this. And finally it broke again. And again, I about beat the poor man to death, waking him up, and he didn't believe me. Oh, you had a dream, but I was, you know, I was not asleep. So the next morning, he had bruises on his back where I had elbowed him.
You weren't fooling around, were you?
No.
So what were these critters? What are they?
I honestly believe that it was extraterrestrials, and for some reason, they have an interest in me because I don't know why. I mean, but there's a lot of strange things about me, like I'm immune to certain diseases, like hepatitis
what do you mean?
C.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're immune? Have you ever been exposed to it?
Yes. but I have an antibody. My first husband was a drug addict, and I didn't know that before
well,
I married
him. Well, wait a minute.
Him.
If you have an anti, you should march yourself into some medical clinic.
Honey,
they might
I've
be able to use you as a serum.
I have offered it to every doctor, and you know what they tell me?
What?
I'm not doing any studies. I said, you can take all my blood that you need if you can figure out what it is in my blood that makes me immune to this disease. There is only somewhere between 8 and 13% of the population of the entire world that is capable of producing this antibody and is immune to these diseases.
You got to be part of a study, Carrie. Hey, I got to take this break, but you've got to be, if not part of a study, at least march yourself into some hospital and have somebody somewhere along the line begin to test you, because I mean, there is really no cure right now for hepatitis C. You could be a godsend. We'll be back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let's go right back to the phones. Wildcard Line, it's your turn. Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Where are you?
This is Brian Buffalo in Indianapolis. Good evening.
Hi, Brian. That's an interesting last name. Brian Buffalo? Okay.
Yes. My mom is full-blood Native American.
I love it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I feel compressed for time here, so I want to really go for it, George. I want to touch on two subjects real quick. First of all, Detective Trevor... Excellent show, man.
Thank you.
And yes, sir, thank him and yourself as well. I'm a little nervous, but you know something, man? I have been a researcher and an appreciator of Jimi Hendrix for 33 and a half years. I've met a lot of people that have known him, and I've researched his life. How I'm tying this in is I would love to see Detective Trevor or someone that he knows, either retired or currently working with Scotland Yard, to actually reopen the case of Jimi Hendrix in light of Jimi Hendrix's death, which, in my opinion, I'm convinced that Jimi Hendrix did not die of an accidental overdose, but in fact was murdered.
And you may be right. There are some other people who believe that as well.
There is an excellent book by a fellow countryman of Mr. Marriott's, Tony Brown. It's a book that's out of print currently, but I've seen it online a number of times. It's called The Final Days of Jimi Hendrix, and it is one of the most extensive professionally done investigations and research material that I've ever read. It's very, very convincing, very grounded, and I thought last evening when I was listening to the program that Detective Trevor has gone so far back 100 years or more to do research with Jack the Ripper. And I thought, well, Jimmy's been gone for about 35, 37 years now, and the evidence there still must be some clues that, in other words, if he can go back into the time tunnel